And it's not a problem for us to work to present together because we have some people say that we're joined at the hip in terms of working as a researcher and practitioners, and has been a very obviously with many other researchers as well. But and the challenge we had also of preparing something today was that there are a lot of people in this room that must be very sick of hearing us. We've told our story so many times, and yet there are new people, so I guess we have to continue to work on contaminating all you new people out there. So we try to do a synthesis of general trends in policy and practice with a very brief historical perspective, but to talk more about what's going on today and what are the issues, what's going well and what's not going as well, or what are some of the difficulties. Okay? So first, some definitional issues. Excuse us again for those who've heard this 100 times, but definition is important because we have to know what we're talking about when we talk about the social economy. That's the first thing that people ask us, what exactly are you talking about? Well, when we talk about the social economy in Quebec, and this has become a consensus, and this is a definition that is now adopted by government, which was confirmed in the, we'll get back to in the recent government action plan on the social economy, that is the basis on which the Research Alliance has developed and so on. And basically what we say as a whole, the social economy refers to the set of activities and organizations stemming from collective entrepreneurship organized around the following principles and operating rules. Sounds familiar probably for those who have been researching this. The purpose of a social economy enterprise is to serve its members or the community rather than to simply make profit. It operates at arm's length from the state, therefore this is not a state-created nonprofit. It promotes a democratic management process involving all users or workers and or workers through its statutes and the way it does business. It defends the primacy of individuals and work over capital in the distribution of its surplus and its revenues. And this is sort of our own, what we've added to a more classic European definition. It bases its activities on the principles of participation and individual and collective empowerment. The social economy therefore encompasses all cooperative and mutual movements and associations and can be developed in all sectors that meet the needs of the people and the community. So I think the important thing to retain about this definition that is we've always given it a very broad and inclusive definition, but we have excluded within that organizations obviously that are directly related to the state or where boards are named by the state and so on. And the other thing is that it also shows that it's not just the legal structure. Cooperative and nonprofit, yes, and mutuals are the heart of the social economy, but it takes a bit more than just to create a nonprofit. And we often say, the business associations that promote neoliberal ideology are nonprofits, but we don't consider them part of the social economy. So we will now go on to presenting quickly some historical moments, and I'll ask Margie and see if she can get through the page.
I apologize. I arrived in the same state as Tim last night, but he seems to be in a better state this morning than I am. It seems to be getting, as my kids used to say, worser and worser. So I'll try to be coherent and cede probably more to Nancy than we had originally planned. As we mentioned to you, or as Nancy mentioned to you, we're not going to present a lot of detail. It's available. There's so much literature now that we've written in English and in French. There are so many of us here from Quebec. But these key historical moments are worth revisiting, even for us, to look at what the trends have been and to help us understand where we've arrived at today. And certainly we could go back even further in Quebec to the 1950s and very active so-called popular movements. But 1983 and the creation of the Fonds de Solidarité, the first labor solidarity fund in Quebec, is a very, very important historical moment because it marks a real turn in Quebec that involves social movements, in this case the labor movement, very directly in economic development strategies. With a very strong capacity to do this. The Labor Solidarity Fund, as many of you know, the Fonds Solidarité is a very powerful financial actor and a very powerful economic actor. And very shortly thereafter, 1984, the creation of the first generation of community economic development corporations. Both these events are, of course, marked by an economic recession, a crisis. And again, these CEDECs, as they're called in Quebec, were again expressions by civil society, by citizens groups, by social movements in economic affairs, in engagement in economic affairs very, very directly in the revitalization strategies of communities that were devastated by deindustrialization. So these are key, and you'll see as we continue that we will come back, particularly I think to 1984 and the role of actors in economic development strategies. 1996, the socioeconomic summit that was called by the Bouchard government, while it's 13 years after 1983, 12 years after 1984. Reflects a recognition for the first time on the part of the Quebec government of this role played by the community sector, by social movements, as in their social engagement, but also in their economic engagement. And while Quebec, there is a tradition of dialogue among business, labor, and government sectors, this was the first time that the community sector was invited to participate in such a dialogue, and the community sector basically never went away. This also marked the creation of the Chantier de l'économie sociale, which in French is a building site, a task force, and it has kept the name, which I've often said is very appropriate because it's an ongoing architecture. It keeps growing and expanding its activities. But in 1999, the fact that the Chantier de l'économie sociale became an autonomous nonprofit organization was extremely significant because it allowed it to have that arm's length from government. It has its own constitution of many organizations and people with their political partisanship, but it is a non-partisan organization which allows it to negotiate with government, and it is recognized as such. The Chantier is a network of networks, so it acts as a representational body, but it also acts as a development actor. It's engaged in strategic development initiatives for the social economy across Quebec. Penny mentioned 2004, a very important moment, unfortunately too short-lived, where the federal government created a secretariat for the social economy. No coincidence that the Prime Minister at the time, Paul Martin, knew about this because he had, in his own riding, had experienced the work of the Community Economic Development Corporation and the actors involved and saw their effectiveness. In 2006, another summit, but this time it's a citizens-based summit. So 10 years after the government called a summit, citizens, social economy organizations, called the Chantier in particular, organized a summit, and there were 700 people that participated. These were delegates. So it wasn't just a large forum. These were delegates, and of the 700 people that were there, there were representatives from over 20 countries. I think it was 23 countries, and it was very interesting because we talk about definitions and so on. While we use the term social economy in Quebec, the definition wasn't the problem as much as it was, you know, what do we do with this phenomenon, particularly by government. And even within the movements themselves, there were often debates in the early stages, particularly with the women's movement, even with the labor movement, a zone of discomfort to some extent. And yet here in 2006, present at this summit was the labor movement, the women's movement, environmental groups, local development agencies, and so on, and federal, provincial, and municipal government, all claiming that they had supported this initiative. So this was a very important event because 2 years later, in 2008, the provincial government, the government of Quebec, issued a national action plan. We will come back to that later, and in 2009, and we'll come back to that, and Joanne Lavoie will as well, the city of Montreal, in February of this year or March of this year, launched a partnership for the social economy. We'll come back to the details, but I'd like to just underscore the word partnership. I think I forgot to. No, I didn't. Okay. Partnership, because what this represents is an institutionalization of how the policy agenda, certainly since 1996, has been designed in Quebec very much as a result of co-construction, partnership of dialogue. So these are key historical moments in Quebec.
Now, Leslie referred recently, to some work that we did over the past few years where we did some categorization of public policy, and I still agree with those categories, but we wanted to talk about the fundamental trends that are emerging or have emerged over the years in the public policy field in the social economy, and we felt that the emphasis was important to see look at it from a sectoral perspective and a territorial perspective. We could have, and the others are added in and within those contexts as well. Basically, because what our hypothesis in terms of the analysis of what's going on is that there has been a shift. But what we want to look at in this presentation is first of all to the traditional perspectives of sectoral policy, which is the way government works, based on silos, Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Natural Resources, of Health and Social Services, and so on. And generally, these policies have been, you know, top-down or negotiated at a national level with common criteria across regions and localities. And that's the specific, and we'll come back on some examples in Quebec. The other approach to public policy, which has been the basis and which is the emerging form of public policy in Quebec presently, is territorial, intersectoral development strategies which are adapted to local realities requiring both horizontal and multi-stakeholder institutional spaces, and we'll come back on that. Margie will be doing some, we'll speak to that in more detail. And this is very important, I think, because this shift, and it's been one of the ways it's manifested itself in Quebec, for example, is that the social economy was under the responsibility historically of the Economic Development Department that works very much on sectors and we are now, and this was the request of the social economy movement following the summit in 2006, so we are now under the responsibility of the coordination of the Minister of Municipal Affairs, Regional Development, and what we call Occupations Territoire, Territorial Development. And that's where we really feel that we're at home, because our vision of the social economy, which has always been put forward from the movement, is that the social economy enterprises are not end of themselves. They are tools for, as Tim would say, well-being of our communities, or what we say, tools for the development of community. So what we did was we did some tableau that you probably aren't going to be able to read. How do you get this going? To give you some examples, is there any? Can you read anything that's up there? So. Okay. Neither can I. But perhaps after we can, you know, we'll be able to circulate this. And what we tried to do was to look at, you know, and it is, policy is complicated, and I realize we're going to run out of time, so I better start talking fast. That if you look at the question of developing the social economy, there's all different aspects to its development. There's specific policy and programs that, you know, you can ask for money for this program and you get it. There's financial instruments that help the development of our social economy organizations and enterprises. There's technical support. There's labor market development. There's access to markets. There's research, and then there's networks. And that all those are parts of the way we look at the development of the social economy and where there's an interface with policy. Now, in certain areas, there's much less policy. I'll give you an example. When we talk about access to markets in general, that's not something that there's much policy on, but there is more and more around procurement, for example. When we look at financial instruments, we started off very much with government, using government money to start investing and using it to leverage private sector money, and we're now at the stage where we're starting to develop financial instruments outside of government, totally with private money, to be able to support the development of the social economy. And so there's interfaces back and forth between policy and practice, and that's why we tried to do these little tableaux and give you some examples. Now, around the sectoral examples, I'll just run through them quickly. We show housing, for example, community housing, cooperative and nonprofit, where you have a program in Quebec called Accès Logis, which has been a very important support for the development of community-based housing. but you also have a structure created by the Quebec government where all the partners come together, the Quebec government, social economy networks, the chantier is there, the technical resource groups, the co-ops, the non-profits, municipalities, to work together around developing community housing. And then you have instruments, some of them are private funds, and some of them we've been able to leverage private capital for cooperative and non-profit housing with more and more success. Then we have technical resource groups, which are community-based social economy enterprises that used to have public funding, but are now work on their own, and as they develop, they're paid for the work that they do. Then you have a sectoral council, which is a partnership organization working on labor market development, but in which the needs, which gets government support, but has the workers and enterprises around the table, and works on labor force development, training of boards, training of managers, training of workers, access to markets. Well, in the social housing, it's unlimited. The need is huge. These organizations participate in the social economy CURA, and they have their own networks on cooperatives, nonprofits, but they're also members of the Chantier d'Économie Sociale Board, and in one case of the Conseil of the Quebec Cooperative Council Board as well for the cooperative housing. And we can see that, you can run that through in daycare. We have a family policy. We have a network that's part of our board. We can see that in home care. Community radio is another example. So these are the kinds of things, and I'm going to stop on that one quickly. There's a lot of information, and we can give you more of it. But we tried to look at it from an overall perspective, because in each of those cases, there's direct government intervention, obviously usually negotiated through co-construction and co-production of these policies. But after that, they plays itself out, and there's a marriage of the role for civil society actors and for government. If we go on to the approach to territorial development, you did it? Okay. Once again, we can see that there has been tremendous, and this is where in the past few years there's new stories to be told. Now, we have a local development policy in Quebec that was inspired a lot from the community economic development process, and also from the Federal Community Futures Program, and that has created local development centers with funds for the social economy across Quebec. We have a rural development policy which has been very rich in terms of support for the development of social economy enterprises, and the City of Montreal recently, and Joanne Lavoie will be speaking to that this afternoon. At the same time, there are financial instruments that are more and more located at the local level that are there to support and invest in social economy enterprises. There's technical support that is provided through local organizations. There's local employment centers around labor market force development. And more from access to markets, there are municipal governments that are starting to be interested and work around procurement policy. In research, there's research particularly around rural laboratories and the rural development, and there's these networks of local development organizations that are, again, members of the board of the Chantier and part of the big social economy family. We have the same thing at the regional level with interministerial agreements, and most recently in the Quebec Government Action Plan, financial support for the next 5 years for regional social economy poles, so that not only are we organized at a national level, but at a regional level, things are now being structured and institutionalized. You have the same kind of, at a regional level, you have regional development cooperatives that have been around since the 80s with the Quebec cooperative movement. You have regional partnership councils around labor market development. So there's a whole rollout of regional support, and even our CURA within the hub, we rolled it out rather than on a sectoral basis, we rolled it out on a regional basis, so that there's 8 regions in Quebec that have regional social economy research partnerships. And then at a national level, once again, we have the Chantier Government Action Plan, we have the traditional Quebec Council of Cooperatives and Mutuals. In terms of networks, we have our CURAs and so on. So, but it just shows, I think, that for us, and this is where the trends are moving forward, that there's some very important developments, and there is a trend much more towards territorial policy, because social economy, and we'll go on to the next slide, where we see that the current trends in practice is there's clearly a shift in emphasis from sectoral to integrated territorial approaches to the social economy, and that has part of the process of government decentralization and so on, and the social economy has adapted itself, but it's a good fit because, as I said, social economy is basically communities coming together to give themselves better quality of life. what we see out of that is that we see new sectors emerging not from a top-down perspective, but from a bottom-up. For example, social tourism, culture, communications, environment, resources. That these are new sectors that are emerging and are gaining strength, and not because there's been any sectoral policy, but because basically these are trends within communities. And that, in a clear way, I think in Quebec, and as I mentioned, it's linked to our change in ministry, that social economy is seen now as a strategic tool for local development, particularly in rural communities, but also in urban, in cities more and more. And this has led to a consolidation and new territorial alliances to support the social economy. For example, the Chantier is working very closely with the Quebec Union of Municipalities and with the Federation, and we have two municipal federations in Quebec. We've been working with the Movement for Cultural Democracy that's based in Montreal. We have been working very closely with the Rural Solidarity Movement, because these are the kinds of alliances where more and more communities that want to be able to control their own development see the social economy as a very strategic way of moving forward. We've also seen current trends in practice, and this is probably good news, but it's not always easy to deal with, is that we're starting to get, in certain sectors, pressure from the private sector who think that we are taking their markets. I think it speaks for itself. And so these are we're starting to run into some interesting and probably very challenging situations around developing in certain sectors. And I guess the final thing in terms of practice that is very striking, and we really saw that at the summit in 2006, that social economy is no longer just an expression, it is a movement. It is perceived as a movement for economic and social transformation. The alliances we've been able to make with social movements, the strengthening of the social movements, and I think one of the good examples is the Quebec Social Forum, which will be taking place next week. The Chantier is very involved, and there will be a presence of social economy and fair trade organizations in the heart very much of the Quebec Social Forum. And I think those are encouraging in terms of next steps forward.
Okay. So if we go and do the same thing and looked at current trends in policy to look at the correspondence with current trends in practice, much of it is the same. The shift from sectoral to integrated territorial approaches to the social economy. We mentioned that earlier. The local community centers that are across the province. The increased role that is played by what are called regional poles in the social economy, and the recognition that they have as interlocutors with government. This is very, very significant. But you know, it isn't all rosy, and there are still challenges and barriers, and in particular, there's what we refer to here as stagnation in certain sectoral policies. For example, home care, and you'll hear about that from Christian Jeté later, and perhaps Yves tomorrow will make mention to it as well, Yves Vaillancourt. But that's a sector that has been really left behind and has been struggling to get support and has not received the kind of support that it needs. Similarly, for emerging sectors, this isn't a battle as much as it is about awareness and making government more aware that certain sectors such as culture and social tourism are worthwhile investments for government. So that's a challenge. I think it's very interesting, or we think it's very interesting in all of us, that in the National Action Plan and in the municipal partnership, the social economy is recognized as an economic actor. This is never in any way to diminish its role as a social actor, but rather to integrate its social and economic roles. But to see that it does contribute to economic development is extremely significant for many reasons that Tim raised last night in his opening address, and to move away from this sort of autistic economics that is unable to integrate social and economic and environmental objectives, the triple bottom line objectives that all of us are pursuing. That said, while we have these two very important policy initiatives, the reality is that it is also still seen as marginal. But we do have increased visibility, and we're invited to places that we would not have been invited to in years past. With the shift to more territorial type policy or complementary to, this is not a replacement, this is complementary to the sectoral policies, the social economy is seen as a strategic tool for local development, rural development, fight against poverty. There are some new initiatives that the government wishes to take in its renewal of its commitment to eliminate poverty. We're the only region in Canada that has a law to that effect, and the social economy, the Chantier in particular, was consulted on how different strategies to promote social economy enterprises could contribute more effectively to poverty reduction. There is clearly a recognition of the social economy as a key social movement, and it is now invited to participate increasingly in policy design, very much so. I just gave one example. There are numerous examples, and some of us have referred to this as a new framework for co-regulation that we have with respect to the social economy. We won't find this in all aspects of public policy, unfortunately, but certainly it does demonstrate a process of innovation in policy design. And I know we're running out of time, so we've got to go rapido through conclusions. You want to divide? Divide. Okay. We'll just go very, very rapido through conclusions. We've already mentioned to you the action plan. You'll hear more about it. Very significant, though, is that there are 8 ministries. You're going to hear more about horizontal policy making. This is an example of a horizontal initiative. Nancy's brought several copies of the action plan. Likewise for the municipal partnership. The La Fille du C was mentioned. This is the large quasi-equity fund that was developed, investment fund in Quebec, that has multi-sector, multi-stakeholder, is characterized by multi-stakeholder governance, and similarly for the Chantier. So we see an emergence over a period of time of hybrid spaces for negotiation and for dialogue. And that this includes government, particularly in new policy initiatives that have emerged in the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years in particular. That said, we refer often to the plural economy that has to include the private sector, the public sector, and the social economy or community movements. This isn't really, while it's recognized, the fact is that, as Tim mentioned last night, in many ways, Quebec, like Canada and other parts of the world, is business as usual, unfortunately, despite the crisis. But I'd like to end on the positive note, that Tim ended on, that the fact that there is this increasing recognition means that there are spaces for the social economy to engage more effectively with government for new policy initiatives, for new enabling policy. And in Quebec, I suppose the mobilization of community actors has been such a key ingredient in this, and I guess this is where, if we have any lessons to share with the rest of the country or with other parts of the world, it is on mobilizing and organizing on the ground. Okay, Nancy.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Thank you both very much, and it's pretty evident from the quick overview we've been given that when you look at what's transpired in the province of Quebec, we've seen a whole lot of different steps along the way, so that I think now you're arriving at that point, as you put it, where you're able to have this more formal dialogue with government, but it's also about moving away from individual relationships and policies and programs into a more integrated approach. So I think that would be something that would be really interesting for us to pursue.